A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, they can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see the things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of the life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. God's word is life.
When passages like this one that we've just heard come up in the proposed readings for the day, I confess that I'm inclined to give them a pass. Who wants to hear about the world coming to a crashing end? When there's so much more in Scripture to turn to that encourages and guides, even if it challenges us, exposing truths that we would rather not see about ourselves, why would we linger with these frightening end-time pronouncements? Well, maybe the first thing to note is that it's texts like these that have been seized and used to ramp up violence, as though these were literal predictions of how God's future will play out. And any violent help we might give to it, well, that would only be forwarding God's agenda, right? Wrong. These are not literal descriptions or attempts to predict the future. In fact, if anything, we hear Jesus flat-out discouraging speculation about the future and urging instead to get on with being faithful in the present. Of course, life brings times of fear and chaos. But here we have Jesus speaking about these things to his disciples and to us, not in order to terrify us, but just the opposite, to encourage us. He doesn't say, run for your lives, get out while you can, but rather, know that trials and troubles will come. But don't let that throw you off course. They are signs telling us that it is a good time for God's people to be present and accounted for. These are the times when the witness of the faithful matters greatly, when leaning in with all our might to the promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God is so needed. It's in these times Jesus imagines something other than panic. Your redemption is drawing near, he says. You can hear him, can't you? Be of good courage. You are not alone. Call it a certain calm. Call it endurance. Call it hope. Especially in times when fear runs high, courage, endurance, calm can curb violence and open the way for another outcome altogether. Where we might have imagined it a contradiction or out of touch that we would enter the season of Advent, that by the Christian calendar marks the very beginning of the year, where we might have thought of odd that we would begin this new year with texts about the end of the world, no less. Now maybe we're beginning to get it. The way it dares to have us imagine that amidst what seems unyielding disaster, within that another outcome is on its way. For myself, there's a particular poignancy to this year, with the climate emergency so top of mind. The end of the world that we have known is a real possibility, and in some dimensions is already a reality. So on the one hand, there is the fear that there is this impending catastrophic end. And at the very same time, another outcome is emerging, which itself is made possible by the ending of the way we currently inhabit this planet. We don't have to carry on business as usual. We don't have to settle for the world as we know it. We can look at the signs of our times and realize they are telling us that now is the time for us to be present and accounted for. That now is the time that faithful witness matters greatly, that leaning in with all our might to this promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God is so needed. We can imagine, as Jesus imagined, that something other than panic is called for, is possible. Those young people who were leading Friday's climate strike, this is exactly what they embody as they stand up and raise their heads to see a vision of a new world on the horizon, and so raise their voices and raise their signs. I hear them telling us, encouraging us to see it with them, that our redemption is drawing near. Now, if life in our own local personal kingdom is going all right at the moment, news of redemption, of our liberation, won't necessarily strike us as welcome news. If all is more or less as we like it, we'd sooner not have our patterns, our expectations, our world disrupted by the new way of life that Jesus calls the kingdom of God. But for the 10 people, for example, that Amnesty International has identified for this year's Right for Rights campaign, it's a totally different story. I'm hoping you'll consider sharing in this letter-writing campaign next Sunday after our service or on sometime during Tuesday on Human Rights Day, where we write letters to advocate for people like Sarah and Sean, two beautiful young people, both of them avid swimmers, who in their risky work with a humanitarian organization, helping to rescue refugees arriving by boat to the coast of Greece, were arrested on charges of human trafficking and spying and being part of a terrorist group. 1 year after their arrest, With the possibility of years in prison hanging over their heads, they await their trial. They long for their liberation, their redemption. It is their dream. It is their need. Just as First Nations people of Grassy Narrows, who for 50 years have been living with and affected by mercury in their drinking water, are longing for their redemption. Just as Marinelle, this young woman 16 years old, whose coastal village in the Philippines was so utterly destroyed by Typhoon Yolanda, is longing for the redemption of those who survived, and others around the world who are so vulnerable to the same devastation. You see, even if we ourselves don't long like they long with every fiber of their being for their redemption, this is what Advent does. It connects us with the fearsome reality of endings, the end of our own worlds, the ending of others' worlds. Not to scare us out of our skin, but in fact to call us more deeply into these vulnerable bodies in this fragile world, that we might awaken to our true selves, to our relationship, our kinship, our belonging to one another, that their longing may kindle our own, that we become a people of wild hopes and dreams, susceptible to the hopes and dreams of that Jesus child who came and comes again and again into this same world in flesh like ours, who knows our vulnerability from the inside, and who, assuring us that we are not alone, helps us to be of good courage. As Advent comes around to us yet again, we are given to start the year afresh, start from the beginning, which by God's grace will take us through whatever endings we must endure to make way for the new world of God's conceiving to be born among us. Who would have imagined that hope would arrive this year riding on the tails of endings? Let's just take a moment or two to sit with whatever may be stirring within us.